Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is June 27, 2022, Monday morning here on the East Coast. Hope everyone is doing well. Hope everyone had a great weekend. You know, hopefully you had a sober weekend. If not, and you regret it or want to get sober, you know, start again. Start over. Right. That's all I can tell you. It's a... You know, sobriety is interesting. The life of sobriety is interesting. All that comes with sobriety is very interesting, and it's all an absolute choice, you know. Sobriety does not make things easier. Unfortunately, sobriety usually means that you deal with shit, you know, good and bad. But hopefully, if you're sober, you know, you have less bad and all good. But, you know, it is a choice. It's a choice, and it takes a lot of work. So hopefully you had a great weekend. Hopefully everything's going well. If you didn't and you need to start over, start over. Or take it, or, you know, ask yourself, what do I want out of this process, this reprogramming, so to speak, even though I don't consider it a reprogramming. But, you know, I sort of had to get reprogrammed, right? And I appreciate it. I'm very grateful for it. Got up this morning, went for a bike ride with my middle son, my 11-year-old. We went on an adventure, and it was awesome, and just really full of gratitude to get to do that with him. Went on about it was probably about 10 miles. Rode from our house down to the beach, rode along the boardwalk, sat and chatted, you know, came back up Route 1, stopped on the wall between heaven and hell, and chatted a little more, and then we rode home. And it was really great. He'd been asking me, you know, I don't know if you have kids. You know, I have a 10-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 16-year-old. You know, the 10 and 11-year-old are always fascinated by the 16-year-old. You know, how come he gets to do this? Or not, I think they're past the how come. It's just, wow, he gets to. And, you know, my oldest son works. We live sort of by the beach, so he rides his bike in during the summer. Obviously, just one, for gas, but for two, there's no parking. So it really works out a lot better. And, but my oldest son has an e-bike, and I have an e-bike, and my middle son, who is 11, you know, he is fascinated by the e-bike, and he wants to ride an e-bike. And when my oldest son isn't going to work, he doesn't mind if my middle son rides his e-bike. But all weekend, Sam's been like, can we go out for a ride? And I go, you know, yes, but it depends. You know, is David working? David was working, so we haven't really been able to do it all weekend. And, this morning I said, let's get up. I got up at 5:30, got him up, and off we went. And it was just really, really cool to get to do that. And, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, if I was drinking, I wouldn't get to do that. That's obvious. I'm past that. I'm past the point of referring everything to if I was drinking or if I wasn't. This life I've had for a long time, I've had it long enough that I can find a lot of annoying things that happen in this sober life, right? So it's not perfect. But, you know, because I can tell you, when he asked me to do it on Saturday, I didn't really want to, and I was a little frustrated. And then on Sunday, I couldn't do it because of David taking the bike. So, you know, this availability, this good living, sometimes it attracts a lot of people. And then, you know, for a guy like me, it can be a little inconvenient. And, you know, so... But I recognize it today, and I said, listen, Tom, this is, you know, maybe you didn't plan well enough, and you know, the short amount of time makes it even more inconvenient. So I made sure this morning I got up. I didn't have any, you know, nothing holding me back. And I said, Sam, let's go for, are we going to go for a ride? And he's like, yeah, yeah. And then he didn't quite get up. And I'm like, all right, well, if he doesn't want to ride, then I'm off the hook. But the fact is I really do want to ride. And I know he wanted to. So I'm like, come on, let's go. So we got up and it was really great. You know, I'm still struggling with, you know, this. There's something happened to me during this pandemic, a real, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's ego. I don't know if ego has been driving me for so long, even sober, and I just didn't recognize it, or I'm just getting older. But, you know, prior to the pandemic, I was running, you know, I'm bringing up all these pictures pop up in my feed. You know, I was running 3 or 4 times a week. Doing some distance, you know, trying to work out and stay fit. And for some reason, I've just kind of lost all that. You know, I'm still, I mean, I want to look good and I want to stay fit, but I just don't feel like running and I just don't feel like biking. You know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I'd get up in the morning, I'd go for a run. Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'd ride my bike, not an e-bike, a regular bike, and do 15 miles on the bike and just, you know, really get out there and go after it. And at the time, I'm like, and I used to tell my buddy James, we're going to be doing this till we're 80, right? Because we are special, right? Because we're out there. We were, I mean, not special, but it was special, I think, what we were doing. It was, you know, getting up at 5:30 in the morning and running 5 miles is, you know, you're either special or nuts. I'm probably a little of both, but, you know, we really enjoyed it. And at that moment, I'm like, we'll be doing this because James and I have run for 20 years. I'm like, we will do this forever. And it's just not the case. And just haven't been running, haven't felt like running. I did share that I've been trying to eat better. And one of my problems is I don't eat enough. And I know that I'm not going to turn this into an eating podcast, but just trying to eat a little bit more, a little more often, and trying to watch what I eat. And actually, my weight feels good. Something does happen if you don't eat enough food. I don't know. Maybe it's just to me, but I feel like the body thinks I'm starving, and it starts storing. I'm sure that some fitness person or some, you know, nutritionist could either confirm or deny this, but I believe there are times where I feel like I'm overweight, and I try to eat less. And I think my body thinks I'm starving, and I actually start putting on more weight. So, the whole point of that is that I'm trying to eat a little bit more, a little more often. Trying to have sandwiches, and you know, just trying to keep the motor running with calories. And I feel good. I really actually feel really better than I've really felt in a long time, minus the running. So, interesting, you know, weird kind of thing going on in my life. And then, you know, I think I'm also just getting older. You know, I'm going to be 54 this year. I know that's not old unless you're in your 20s. I'm an old man. But, you know, this really should be the prime of my life. This should be where, you know, I take all that I've learned and all that I've done and I really put it towards something and try to, you know, have an easier, not easier, but a more educated life. And I do. So maybe it's that too. I don't know. Maybe I'm just happy. I don't know. But it's kind of what's going on. I wanted to talk a little bit about, I went to the meeting on Friday. And it was a great meeting. And this is the third time I've tried to get this podcast going. The first time my son called in the middle. The second time my wife called in the middle. So I was sharing a little bit about this, my second try on this podcast. But, you know, I went to the meeting on Friday. I did not go last week. My wife and I did something. So I was feeling a little, I'm like, I got to make sure I get to this meeting tonight because I did not go last week. And for right now in my life, I'm only going to one meeting a week, Friday night. And but regardless, I made the meeting on Friday and it was really good. And we had a nice sort of summer crowd. It was probably 6 or 7 people, a few new faces, which is always cool. There was a new guy in there. I think he had a week, and there was another person in there, and I think she had 13 days, which I was just like, you know, that is awesome, you know. And if you're out there and you're trying to get sober, you know, and I always see it like the person that told me that they had 13 days, the person said, you know, I have 13 days. And I'm like, That's awesome. You know, I bet those 13 days were a lot harder than my last 13 days. So, you know, hats off. Hang in there. Congratulations. Super proud. You know, you're making the right choice. You know, all the stuff that goes along with that. And it's a good reminder that, you know, her first 13 days, that's like some magical stuff. And I shared the other day about how there's a person in my life who's getting sober, and she's like, you know, I don't even know what it is I like. You know, I don't even know who I am. And so right away I thought about the person with 13 days and thinking, and, you know, just like, who am I, right? Which is so cool. You know, it's such a gift that you get from getting sober, at least that I did. And I'm still figuring it out, right? Because, you know, my last 13 days haven't been that tough. They've been consisted of one meeting. You know, this person that was sharing, been to a meeting every day, which is just awesome. And, you know, I loved it. But, you know, so it was a great meeting. It was great to see some new faces. But the topic of sharing came up, which I think is always an interesting topic because, you know, as a person that walks in, if you've been in the rooms, you'll see different varieties of people, right? And you'll see, you know, like when I first came in the room, I remember my sponsor said, you have nothing to share, so just sit there and keep your mouth shut. And I was like, that sounds like a great idea. And I was, I love that. I had the green light to do nothing but just show up and sit and listen. But some people like to come in and really share it up, right? Really chat it up. And I think, you know, if you don't have a sponsor and you're coming into the rooms, I think it's fine, you know? Get it off your chest. Share what you got to share. I think that it's, there is no rules, right? You know, eventually people will make rules. You can only, I've been to meetings, you can only share a few minutes. And, you know, I think about like those first meetings, the first meetings of AA where they were at Bill W.'s house and, you know, he just had a living room full of drunks. Some people drunk, some people not drunk. Just the bottom of the barrel kind of people. Because you got to remember, you know, if you became an alcoholic back in those days, it was the kiss of death. I mean, there was no saving your ass. There was no program. You know, there was a mental hospital or a grave. That was basically it because people couldn't get sober back then. So when, you know, Bill and Bob finally got together and started, you know, the wonderful program that they did, which is basically one person helping another. I mean, that was the key, the magic. And it still continues to be the magic. But, you know, when they're pulling people off bar stools. I mean, and believe me, back in those days, there was a lot of fucking drunks. A lot of them. A lot of bums and shit. And because there was no solution. There was no help. And so early on in the program and bringing the people to the living room of his house and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, you know, the standards were pretty low, right? But today, I don't know however many years it's been, 60, 70, whatever. You know, I remember being at a meeting once and a drunk guy came in and I was like, oh my God, really? I can't believe this guy's drunk. It's an AA meeting, yeah, you dumbass, you know? But, you know, they say that our bottoms don't have to be as low as they used to be, right? So I've never experienced living on the streets. I've never experienced, you know, I mean, I felt in my world, I went pretty low, but there's always lower, right? They say you can take the elevator down, get off, and start digging. And luckily, I came in. Really? Don't know him. But when I came into the program, there was a program established. It had been around for a while. You know, I didn't have to. I could have gone lower, but I didn't have to. And that was, you know, I'm very blessed for that. But the point is that early on, people will come in and sometimes they share a lot. And, you know, I always just think, let them share, right? Get it off your chest. You know, there's something really magical about sharing. And, you know, but once they come in for a bit, you know, it's nice to get a little bit of a sponsor and try to kind of, you know, and I know for me, my sponsor was like, you don't really have anything to share at this point because it's really, and I'll never forget, you know, when I shared, you know, as much as Ron said, don't share, as much as I wanted to share, because I wanted to say something that was going to save the room, right? I wanted to be so profound. I wanted to drop some knowledge, right? And everybody go, oh, thank you. That was what I needed to hear. And it just doesn't happen. I mean, we take things and leave things. But the point was is that my motivation in sharing was not because I needed to get off a life or a sober threatening issue. I wanted to serve self. But this is just for me. Experience your own journey. I think it's, like I said, it's wonderful. You hang out in the meetings long enough, you get yourself a sponsor. Usually the sponsor will get you straightened out if you even need it, right? I'm not here to say you do or don't. I know I did. I needed some straightening out. But he also didn't say, hey, man, I don't want you sharing because you're serving self. He just says, you know, for right now, you really just need to just sit and listen. Let's get in some new habits, showing up, taking a commitment. And like I said early on, my first commitment was just shaking hands. So there it is. I the topic of sharing was a big deal, and I loved it, and it was great to kind of listen to people. But the cool thing about sharing is there is some humility created. And, you know, one of the cool things that I remember was that I remember someone telling me that if I was the only one that was there, no matter how much time I had, let's say I just had a day, right? Let's say I had one day, and I wanted a meeting, and I showed up, and nobody else was there. And I'm sitting there waiting. And let's say a newcomer comes in. Someone newer than me, right? Let's say I got 3 days and this person has 1 day. Now, as long as I'm sitting there with my hand out and we sit and you know, hopefully there is some sort of leader. You know, maybe, listen, I've had moments where I've led meetings that nobody has been to it. You know, I've gone and opened up the spot and got the coffee made and, you know, especially on, you know, back in the days, you know, before the pandemic when we'd have like weather and you know, snow. I remember asking, do we go to meetings if it snows? And someone told me, he said, hey, if you went to the liquor store when it snowed, you probably should go to a meeting if it snowed. And when I heard that, I go, okay, now I know what I'm dealing with here. This is a no excuses at all. But, you know, if someone walks in and was like, hey, you know, I'm brand new, and you shake their hand, and if you sat with them for the hour, you know, maybe that's all they needed to maybe get going, right? Maybe. So I guess the point of that was that we always can help. We're always available to help. It's always, you know, regardless of what we think we're capable of, sometimes it's what the person, it's just what the person needed, right? And, you know, if they walked up and you weren't there at all and nobody was there and it felt uncomfortable, they may not walk in. So I guess the whole point is just know that you have value and you can help regardless of how much time you have. And, you know, my buddy Matt used to always say, man, anytime you share something, it cuts it in half. Whatever it is, if it has the power to pump up your ego, or if it has the power of deflating your ego, if it has whatever it is you're holding in your mind before you share, it has the power to stop you from doing something, or it has the power of pushing you to do something. A lot of the times when we share it, we put a little sunshine on it, right? And, you know, people can, we're not supposed to crosstalk and we usually don't, but people can share their experience with moments like that. And sometimes it, you know, I've shared about this before. You know, early on, my buddy Matt used to say, go right down to the mailbox. Every day, go to the mailbox, take out the mail. Pay it if it's a bill. Usually this is about bills. This isn't about junk mail. This is about bills. And he would say, you know, take out any bills, write a check for them that day, put them back in the mailbox, and mail them off that day. And because his point was, is that if I don't, like if, you know, luckily now my wife, you know, checks all the mail and takes care of all that. But, you know, in the past, you know, if I didn't go check the mail, and it still happens here in the, at the salon, I'll wait a week. You know, sometimes I'm like, why don't you just check the mail every week, right? Once a week. But bills will come in, and I know the bill's in there, and it's, you know, $35, $60, maybe, you know, $100, whatever. And, but in my mind, it's doubling and tripling in size, and it's giving this weight and power on my anxiety that doesn't, isn't necessary, right? You know, go get the bill, pay it, and put it back in the mailbox, and then you're done with that. That's one less anchor I have to drag around. And that's kind of what sharing is, it does for me, is that it gets a little sunshine on some stuff. You know, luckily today, I don't have a lot of life, sober threatening issues. You know, here's funny. This is a little bit of a funny story. And there's a little sickness in it, I'm sure. You know, where, so I go to this grocery store in town and there's a lady there and I've seen her a couple times and she, like the last time, like I saw her this morning, she says to me, she goes, I think I've seen you on TV. Well, I've never been on TV. But I did not say that. I said, I don't know, right? Kind of like, you know, I kind of, and this is just between you and me, you know, don't tell anybody, but it feels like, you know, she thinks I'm somebody special, which I know I'm not. And at the moment, I don't really feel like letting her know that I'm not special. I sort of just want her to believe that I'm special. And is that a life threat? Is that a sober threatening issue? I don't think so. But is it, good surprise? Is it good? Is it good serenity? I don't think so. It's sort of fun, and you know, I haven't like. It, she just said it to me this morning, and she goes, "I think I've seen you on TV." And I said, "Well, I don't know." And then I told her, "Have a great day." And she's probably she probably thinks she has seen me on TV, but I've never been on TV. I don't do anything on TV. I'm a hairdresser, so I don't know. It's just, I mean, you know. If I wasn't sober and I had never been to AA or worked a program, you know, people would say, "Oh, you're just having fun with her." Yes, I am. I'm just having fun with her. But I have been to a program and I have worked the steps. And what it tells me is that, you know, I'm sort of, you know, I'm stroking my ego. I'm stroking the devil a bit. And, you know, am I okay? Yes. But do I have to watch myself? Yes. Can that be some dangerous behavior? Definitely. So, I don't know. I guess I just shared that. I need to probably go tell that lady that I'm not on TV. But, you know, it kind of felt kind of cool to have someone think you're on TV. So, I'm going to read, I've been reading the Daily Reflections. I'm going to read this, what is it, Just for Today. It's a little bit of a change. It's all, you know, it's all positive stuff. Take it or leave it. I always find something in these things that's always, you know, makes me think a little bit. So, but the title is Change and Growth. This is on page 185 of Just for Today, and it says, when someone points out a shortcoming, our first reaction may be defensive. There will always be room for growth. So that was basic text, page 36. Recovery is a process that brings change in our lives. We need that change if we are to continue our growth towards freedom. It is important that we remain open-minded when others point out our shortcomings. For they are brightening, for they are bringing to light opportunities for us to change and grow. Reacting defensively limits our ability to receive the help they are offering us. Letting go of our defenses opens the door to change, growth, and new freedom. Each day in the recovery process, we will bring an opportunity for further change and growth. The more we learn to greet change with an open mind and heart, the more we grow and the more comfortable we will become with our recovery. Just for today, I will greet each opportunity for growth with an open mind. Yeah, that's awesome. You know, when I came to the program, everything was going to be better. Every behavior I did needed to be improved. My conversations needed to be improved. The way I listened to people needed to be everything needed to be improved. There was nothing I was bringing from my old life into my new life, only the body. And but, you know, I do believe that I was a good person, you know. I've shared before, I always believed that the good person, a spiritual person, a sober person, it lives inside of me. It's just all of the self-centered luggage and anchors that I drag around that don't allow me to see me for who I really am. So it's not like I feel like getting sober made me better. I just felt like it removed a lot of shit. And then I got to figure out what I'm working with. And, but, you know, change and growth. I've shared before, I'll never forget when I used not know. I said not know in a meeting, and my buddy Scott looked at me with this, like, you dumbass. And he said, did you just say not know? And I remember I felt about an inch tall. And, you know, but those are the moments. Those are the things that really at least push me into wanting to change. You know, I didn't care how I spoke. You know, I didn't care how my English sounded. I was like, whatever, until somebody that I looked up to pointed it out. And then I was like, ugh. And I'm sure there was some fucking ego involved in that whole move too, but whatever. You know, I recognize it, and, you know, and you know, Scott, maybe it's Scott, I don't know. But he also, I remember I called him a Chatty Cathy, and he said, you know, that hurt my feelings. And, you know, I definitely think twice now before I make fun of somebody, right? But those things happen, you know, all the time in a program, AA, whatever it is that if you're choosing to use one, you know, they're great programs, and that happens all the time. And I like how it says that, you know, it's up to me. I could have been like, hey, screw you, Scott, you know, why don't you go to hell? But I didn't do that. I was like, you know what, I'm going to take this as a learning experience. It feels painful, so I'm going to go ahead and identify it as something I should probably address. Usually the things that hurt the most are the ones that need the most addressing. And, you know, I'm grateful I didn't do that because, you know, I don't say not know anymore, that's for sure. Listen, I hope everyone has a great day. You know, sobriety's awesome. I like how it says freedom as we fight towards our freedom. It is a freedom. And I'm so blessed. That doesn't mean that it's an easy freedom, but it's definitely freedom. And, you know, hang in there, and we'll catch you later. Bye.